Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Frank McNellis, a school counselor living in Sarasota, Florida. He's also an adjunct professor at Webster University in Tampa, and he's a certified open focus trainer. And Frank is also an avid guitar player. And we're going to be talking today about Frank's experience with taking Skype Alexander Technique sessions with me. Frank, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's funny talking to you without the video, isn't it? If someone were to ask you what the Alexander Technique is, and you only had a half a minute or so to answer, what would you tell them?
I would say that the Alexander Technique helps us benefit from being aware of our habitual responses that causes harmful tension, and helps us benefit from using thinking and taking responsibility for making conscious choices to help us get out of our own way and respond to stimuli in ways that promote freedom, poise, and ease.
Okay. And I know that you had actually had Alexander Technique in-person lessons from Corrine Johnson, an Alexander Technique teacher in Florida, Before you had the Skype sessions. I think it might be helpful for our listeners to hear what it is that caused you to be interested in the Alexander Technique in the first place.
Well, Robert, you mentioned my guitar playing, and I've been very serious about playing for quite a number of years, and even more so the last 5 or 6 years, but noticed that there were a lot of things getting in the way of what I felt was maybe my optimum performing, my optimum playing, both in performing and practicing. Mm-hmm. Some of those things were concentration, but a lot of them seemed to be physical tension I was noticing, and that was what prompted me to pursue and seek out Corrine, the Alexander teacher I took lessons from.
Mm-hmm. And then at some point she took a break from teaching, and that's when you contacted me, I believe, to set up some Skype sessions.
That's right. I'd been taking lessons from her for a little over 6 months at the time I contacted you, probably about 7 or 8 months by the time I contacted you.
Okay. And so from your perspective, what was different and what was the same about Skype sessions and in-person hands-on sessions?
Well, the similarities were focusing on principles such as, the ease, being mobile, being flexible, not being rigid. Certainly the feeling about, you and I had worked on the up with gravity, and certainly the feeling of the lifting. Corrine emphasized that a lot. By the time you and I started working, that was kind of a little bit familiar territory for at least to get started on that. And then we got into it, much more in depth. The directions were similar. She'd used some of the same types of directions. And of course, with as much time as I studied with her, I had been pretty comfortable in using directions. Mm-hmm. I would say differences were that one of the things I found from the beginning taking the Skype lessons was probably less of an emphasis on doing on my part, and I think that was just something that had been getting better in my in-person lessons, but had been a challenge for me, and maybe trying too hard in delivering the directions. It seemed like when I was not doing the one-on-one and the in-person lessons, I just relied less on doing and just gave more of a lighter thought to those directions. And that helped quite a bit. That helped me get into the delivering the directions with much more effectiveness.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. So when you were using directions that you had learned with Corrine, you, looking back on it, you might have put a little too much, a little hint of effort into using them.
That's correct. I understand that's pretty common, and that had gotten better, but I think that had been something I was still trying to work through somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you find the fact that there was obviously no hands-on guidance with Skype sessions? What did you find was good about that, and what was bad about that?
What I didn't have that I had always benefited from in the hands-on lessons and the in-person lessons was actually the hands-on. I had mentioned earlier the feeling of lifting. I would do in a lesson with Corinne, I would do a freedom direction, or I'd do a direction, and she would follow through with some of the hands-on, chest, around that area, so getting my whole chest wall to lift, and the breathing got easier and that type of thing. And so that was not part of the Skype experience. But what was very unique was that I did probably more self-monitoring when we were doing the Skype lessons. For example, I would do a freedom direction such as, my head is free to receive the forces of the earth, and would notice, and I would take that into a short experiment, 20 or 30 seconds, and would call that direction up a couple times, but I would notice things that I really didn't notice other times, before I started doing the Skype lessons, more subtleties, I think, more subtleties in breathing and in movement that were there. I just hadn't really noticed them before.
Hmm. Is there anything else you want to say about the Skype lessons as compared to in-person lessons?
I mean, I think they were very valuable. I think for me, the benefit was I had the combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, I think it was more productive for me to have had the hands-on before having the Skype lessons. So then when I would do a direction, and you and I would be doing that, then it'd be an experiment, I some of the feelings, because I would recall the lifting, and I think I was aware of that, happening before. So that was helpful. Maybe not necessarily in everybody's case, but for me, I noticed that was a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing was that doing the Skype lessons in my own home, I was commuting about 2 hours each way for the lessons, and that was fine. It kind of gave me a chance to kind of assimilate things after the lesson. But doing the Skype lessons was interesting. We did them on a Friday evening, and so as soon as lessons were done, I was still in my home environment with the kind of stimulus I was running into and the stimuli I was running into on a daily basis. And so I was able to take the experiments and go right to doing them, not having the teacher there and just encountering daily life. And I found that to be a unique and a helpful experience as well.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say to someone who, let's take two possible scenarios. There's someone who is nowhere near an Alexander teacher. Would you recommend that they explore Skype lessons?
Oh, definitely. Definitely would. I think there would be tremendous benefits in doing that. No, absolutely.
And how about someone where there are in-person teachers? Can you see any advantage in someone also doing some Skype sessions? What would be your take on that?
You mean Skype sessions in conjunction with working with a teacher?
Or either at the same time, or more likely, I suppose, after, as you did, or between series of in-person lessons? I mean, how would you, from what you've experienced, if someone is interested in exploring Skype and there are teachers around,
sure,
in person, what would be your suggestion for someone in that situation?
Well, I would suggest, I don't know that it would necessarily need to go in any particular order, whether to take the in-person lessons first for a certain amount of time. I don't think I'd recommend anything prescriptive like that, but I would say that be very open to the similarities and even the differences. In other words, if you've been working with an in-person, a teacher in person, face-to-face for 6 weeks or 3 months, and then decided to take Skype lessons, and some things didn't seem at first as being consistent, be open-minded to that and not reject anything that might not seem what you've had experience before. In the other way around, if you decided to take the Skype lessons first, because it all, after time, it all integrates and it all is all part of that same experience. And just that would probably be the most important recommendation I would make.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything else you want to say about the Alexander technique in general, Skype lessons, anything that you'd like to say before we come to a close?
Well, the Skype lessons, I mentioned the experiments. Those were helpful. We kept them short. They were easy to do during the Skype lessons. I don't want to even bring up the word distraction, but with the Skype lesson, it just seemed like it was an opportunity that, even though we didn't have that chance to have the hands-on and to have a teacher, you know, walking next to me, you know, doing the hands-on or whatever, it eliminated some of those things, but it gave an opportunity to focus more on some other things that I really needed to do, I think, at the time that are helpful. You know, the short experiments, the idea of what was helpful to me, and I'm sure to other students too, throwing them away. If I give a direction and then start walking, mm-hmm. and throw the direction away and then come right back to it, and noticing, you know, what is my habit during the time that I've thrown the direction away? That is very helpful. I would recommend anybody being very open to doing that. Right. Once again, the subtleties, because what I've learned more and more through studying the technique has been that the little things, the subtleties, make a huge difference and are very powerful. And you're not looking for big movements, you're not looking for these dramatic changes, but the subtleties are extremely important to pay attention to. Once again, I talked about the opportunity of me focusing on my own thinking and the power of that, and just the thought, which has been very helpful to me. Not that I had to do anything or put any, as you describe it, as being putting any oomph or extra energy behind the thought, but just thinking it. That helped, because I think for myself, and I've heard from other students, that your mind sometimes at certain points in lessons starts to race, and you start thinking about a lot of things, and there could be some frustration that comes up, and then that kind of interferes with the whole process. But just focusing on the thought of the direction helped me tremendously, and just to kept the awareness on everything going on. I could concentrate on my walking. I can concentrate if I want to feel what are my knees doing, my breathing, all at the same time. And those things were very beneficial.
Okay. Well, I think this might be a good place to bring our conversation to an end.
Okay.
My guest today has been Frank McNellis, a school counselor in Sarasota, Florida, adjunct professor at Webster University, certified open focus trainer, and a student of the Alexander Technique. Frank, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Glad to, Robert, and always good to talk to you.